From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. As Christians, all of us long to experience more of God's power in our everyday lives. Yet many times we fail to recognize the harmful behaviors that actually have the opposite effect. Today, we're going to look at four spirit quenchers that we need to eliminate if we want to keep the power of the Holy Spirit burning brightly in our lives. My message is titled, Flamethrowers versus Fire Extinguishers, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
God never intended for the Holy Spirit to be a mystery to believers. If you're a follower of Jesus, then God's Spirit is dwelling inside of you, and He's waiting to unleash His power in your life. In his best-selling book, I Want More, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches what it means to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Looking to satisfy your spiritual cravings? Request the book, I Want More, when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory.
This whole series is built around the premise that you want more in your relationship with God. I know I do. You want more of God's power in your life. Well, the way to experience more of God's power in your life is to avoid these spirit quenchers. And spirit quencher number one that is mentioned here is immorality. Immorality will extinguish the power of God's Spirit in your life. Have you ever heard people say, all sin is the same to God? God doesn't grade sin. All sin is the same in God's eyes. Have you ever heard that before? Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, it's true that any sin is sufficient to separate you and me from God, okay? All sin separates us from God. But there are some sins that have more serious consequences than other sins. You know, nobody has ever gone to prison for harboring hateful thoughts toward another person. Hate is wrong, but you don't go to prison for that. Nobody has ever sat in the electric chair for not paying their income tax. I mean, the fact is, there are some transgressions that have more consequences in this life than others. The same is true with God. Yes, all sin can separate us from God, but there is some sin that has more consequence to it than others. And number one at the list, at the top of the list of sins that have greater consequences than others is the sin of immorality. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 18. Paul says, "Flee immorality, for every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body." Immorality quenches the Spirit's presence in our life. Spirit quencher number two is bitterness. Bitterness quenches the Spirit's power to heal our hurts. Jesus said it very clearly in Matthew 6:15. "If you do not forgive others, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you." Immorality quenches the Spirit's presence in our life. Bitterness, refusing to forgive, quenches the Spirit's power to heal our hurts. There's a third spirit quencher, and that is greed. That is greed. Greed quenches the Spirit's purpose in our life. Now, let me explain what I mean. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, that God has one purpose for every Christian. His purpose, for which all things are working together for good, is to conform us to the image of Christ. For whom God foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. So that's God's plan for every one of us here this morning, that we perfectly resemble Jesus Christ in our actions, attitudes, and our affections. But God also has a specific, unique plan for your life, a unique path he wants you to travel on. And the way that he communicates his unique purpose to you is through the Holy Spirit of God. In Philippians 2:13, Paul writes, "For it is God who is at work within you, giving you both the will," that is the desire, "and the power to achieve his purpose." God is working in your life right now. He's giving you both a desire and the unique power to fulfill his unique plan for your life. God may be speaking to some of you right now. God is continually speaking to all of us to do his will. But you know what can quench the Spirit's purpose in your life more quickly than anything? It's greed. It's holding on to money. It's saying, you know what, I would like to do that, but I just don't have the money to be able to do that. Now hear me clearly. Jesus said we need to do planning before we begin a project. A wise person is one who counts the cost. But a lot of times, we don't follow through on what the Spirit is leading us to do because there's an over-obsession with money, hanging on to it rather than letting go to it. We think, you know what, I really would like to go to the mission field, but I can't give up a good-paying job in order to do that. Mayor, I'm sure God spoke to you and spoke to you about serving our city as the leader of our city. But I imagine if you had looked at the salary, that was not a compelling reason to give up what you were doing to serve our city. You could have said, well, it just doesn't pay enough, therefore I'm not going to do that. Some of you who are saying, I know I ought to get married, but I just don't have the money to do it. Let me give you a news bulletin. You'll never have enough money, so forget it, okay? I mean, you know, if you wait around, you have enough money to get married, you'll never, or have a kid. Oh, I don't have enough money. Listen, it's gone once you have children, so just remember that. Fact is, greed and obsession with money can many times quench what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. How do we keep greed from extinguishing God's purpose in our life? First of all, view money realistically. View money realistically. Its power to protect us and satisfy us is far less than you can possibly imagine. Secondly, hold on to money loosely. Hold on to it loosely. After you have tithed, After you've set aside 10 to 15% for your future and for emergencies, you need to learn to hold the rest of it very loosely. You know, if God prompts you to buy a gift for your child, go ahead and buy it. Spend the money. If God prompts you to take your mate on a trip, go ahead and take the trip. If God is moving you to give an extra gift, go ahead and give that gift. Learn to hold things loosely. You know what? Every time you follow that impulse to let go of money, you have reduced just by a little bit more the stranglehold that greed has on your life. It's a victory when you let go of it. Hold your money loosely. And thirdly, thank God for your money regularly. You know, expressing gratitude to God for what He has already given us has a way of reminding us that it really does all belong to Him. I was thanking somebody who had made a generous contribution to our church. And you know what they said to me? They said, "Pastor, it's really easy to give when you realize it's not yours to begin with." When we express gratitude to God, it has a way of reminding us that it all belongs to Him. Now, immorality quenches the Spirit's presence in our life. Bitterness quenches the Spirit's power to heal our hurts. Greed quenches the Spirit's purpose in our life. Spirit quencher number 4 is worry. Worry quenches the Spirit's peace in our life. Have you ever had this happen to you? Maybe you've been at a stage in life where things seem to be going quite well. Your career is going well. Things in your family are relatively peaceful. You're following through on your goals. And quite frankly, you've never had a better relationship with God than you're experiencing. When all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you are overwhelmed by fear. A particular fear comes into your life. You know, what if I lose my job? What if my child is killed in an automobile accident? What if I develop cancer? What if I lose my job? What if, what if, what if? And suddenly it's like you were hit with a 50,000-volt stun gun. You're just paralyzed. You can't move forward. You can't continue doing what God is leading you to do. You have become a victim of worry. The Bible says worry will stop the Spirit's peace in our life. One writer notes that the most common command in the Bible, the most frequent command, you know what it is? It's not hate not, or covet not, or lie not. The most common command in the Bible is fear not. Fear not. It's found 365 times in the Bible. It's as if God is saying to us at least once a day, don't be afraid. Don't be overwhelmed by fear. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done, isn't it? How can you keep fear from extinguishing the Spirit's peace in your life? First of all, when you find yourself overwhelmed by fear, first of all, try to determine the source of your fear. Ask God to help reveal to you the source of your fear. Now, this is key. Sometimes fear can come from God. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Pastor, you need to go back and listen to your message from several weeks ago. You quoted 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." Pastor, you just contradicted yourself. Is God ever the author of fear? Well, by fear, I'm talking about a prompting that can come from God. Sometimes God will give us a prompting of something in our life that is not right, something that needs to be taken care of. It may be something like He may prompt us to call a doctor for an appointment. He may prompt us to call and check up on our child. He may prompt us to check our bank deposit and see if our finances are in order. He may prompt us with something much more serious, that all is not right in our relationship with God. God is continually giving us these promptings. A prompting from God only becomes a fear when we obsess about it rather than acting upon it. See the difference? God gives us these promptings all the time in our life. If we act on them, then that's fine. But if we obsess on them and don't act, it turns into a fear. Sometimes promptings come from God. Sometimes fear comes from fatigue. We all know the famous Vince Lombardi line, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." There's just something about being physically exhausted that makes you more susceptible to fear. Think about the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 18 and 19. Remember Elijah, the one who slew the hundreds of prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel? And yet he allowed one disgruntled queen Jezebel, to send him running. He became overwhelmed with fear. Finally, he was exhausted. He said, "Lord, just go ahead and take my life right now." But then he slept, he ate, and he gained a new perspective. Did you know, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is to take a nap. You know that? Not read your Bible, not pray, not listen to Christian music. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just take a nap. And when you wake up, things will seem different. And that's what Elijah did. Fatigue can sometimes be a source of our fear. Thirdly, Satan can be a source of fear. Sometimes he is responsible for much of the fear that comes into our life. You know why I say that? Because much of the fear that we face is based on things that never turn out to be true. Last night, I had some time by myself, and I just started flipping through some of my past spiritual journals from years gone by. I looked at them from 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I wrote down the things I'm concerned about, the things I was praying for, the things, some of them, that I was fearful about. And I just started laughing as I read these things, because not one of the things I feared 10 or 20 years ago ever came to pass. None of it ever happened. Now, other stuff happened that I didn't know about and didn't expect to happen, but nothing I was fearful about, worried about, none of those things ever came to pass. Isn't that just like Satan? He would love to get us overwhelmed by the what-ifs of life, things that will never occur in your life. That's why Jesus said in John 8:48, Satan is a liar. He's the father of all lies. He wants you to worry about things that, in fact, have no basis in reality. So that's why I say one of the best things you can do is, first of all, determine the source of your fear. Is it a legitimate prompting that needs to be acted on? Is it simply a case of fatigue, or is it the enemy attacking you? Secondly, decide to confront your fear. If you determine that it is a legitimate concern that needs to be acted upon, go ahead and act upon it instead of stewing over it. I mean, if there's a doctor's appointment that needs to be made, pick up the phone and make it. If there's a bank statement that needs to be reconciled, go ahead and reconcile it. If, in fact, you need to go ahead and do something about that growing distance between you and your mate, go ahead and sit down and talk with him or her about it. Don't put it off. Don't obsess about it. Act upon your fear. You see, again, there is a vast difference between legitimate concerns that God places in our heart and irrational fear. Here's the difference. Godly concern always leads to change and ultimately to success. But fear always leads to paralysis and failure. Now, Paul made that distinction in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. He said, "For the sorrow, that is the concern that is according to the will of God, produces a repentance, that is a change without regret, and it leads to salvation. But the worry of the world produces death." Real godly concern will always lead somewhere. It leads to change and salvation. But the sorrow, the regret, the obsessing of this life always leads to paralysis and ultimately to death. Napoleon Hill once said, "Do the things you fear, and the death of fear is certain." Go ahead and confront your fears. And thirdly, deliver your fear to God. You know, after you confront your fear head on, you still may find that the enemy comes back and tries to get you paralyzed by fear. In that case, deliver that fear to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you." You know, the best word in that verse to me is the word "all." Cast all your anxiety upon him. God's shoulders are broad enough not just to handle the little concerns of your life, but the biggest concerns of your life. Remember Corrie ten Boom, that great saint of God, wrote The Hiding Place? She used to say whenever she was overwhelmed by worry, whenever she was paralyzed by fear, she would stand in front of the mirror and she would say, "This fear This concern is too big for even Jesus Christ himself to handle. Then she would smile, and then she would feel ashamed of herself. What concern in your life, let me ask you, what concern in your life is too big for God to handle? Can you think of one? Casting all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. Immorality quenches the Spirit's presence. Bitterness quenches the Spirit's power to heal your hurts. Greed extinguishes the Spirit's purpose in your life. And worry extinguishes the Spirit's peace in your life. What's the antidote to all of these Spirit quenchers? In a word, it's obedience. Obedience. Very simply, doing what you know you need to do. Now don't tune out here, listen. Is there an immoral practice, an immoral relationship you're involved in right now? Go ahead and forsake it. Abandon it. Is there somebody you are having trouble forgiving right now and bitterness has been in your heart for a long time? Go ahead and forgive that person. Is there something you feel like God is leading you to do, but because of your obsession with money, you just can't do it? Go ahead and flee from that greed. Is there some worry that is overwhelming you, extinguishing God's peace in your life? Go ahead and give it to God. Cast it upon God because he cares for you. Jonathan Edwards, the great Puritan preacher, during his lifetime composed a list of 70 resolutions that guided his life. And resolution number 25 is particularly relevant to our discussion today. This is what he wrote. Resolved to examine carefully and constantly what that one thing is which causes me in the least to doubt the love of God, and then to direct all my forces against it. What is the one thing in your life that is quenching the Holy Spirit's power in your life? I imagine you already know what it is, don't you? You see, God has given you the desire, but he has also given you the power to change that one thing. Go ahead and change it. Change it today and watch the flame of God's Spirit to begin to burn brightly in your life again.
It's my hope and prayer that viewers all across our nation and around the world are making a decision to turn away from their sin and surrender their lives in obedience to God. When the Spirit is in control, we can truly feel satisfied in our walk with God. Now, with just a few minutes remaining today, I want to thank you for your generous giving to Pathway to Victory. Every gift we receive is channeled directly into reaching more people with this message of hope and light. And your gifts are truly making a difference. Whether it's over the phone, through a letter, or an email, people from all walks of life tell us that Pathway to Victory has become their spiritual lifeline. And as new doors open to expand the impact of Pathway to Victory across America and around the world, your gift empowers us to say yes to those opportunities. Together, we're able to push back the forces of darkness that are working against our culture as we shine the bright light of God's truth in its place. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
The Bible promises that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our lives will never be the same. And yet many Christians feel discouraged and defeated in their daily walk. Perhaps you feel the same.
If you're longing for something more in your relationship with God, you're not alone. At one time, I felt unsatisfied and powerless to change it. But by God's grace, I discovered how to deploy the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And today, I want to help you discover that as well in my best-selling book, I Want More.
The book, I Want More, was written with you in mind to help you build spiritual strength as you pursue a fresh way to unleash God's supernatural power in every area of your life. Request a copy of I Want More when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete CD and DVD teaching set for this month's series called Unleashed.
The same power of God that flung billions of galaxies into existence with a single word. The same power of God that lifted Jesus Christ out of the grave, that same power of God is in you right now.
Thank you so much for your support. Your generous giving will help us encourage viewers just like you as we continue to impact you and our nation with the truth of God's Word.
Immorality, bitterness, greed, and worry may sound like intimidating enemies. But all four are easily defeated when we are obedient to God and when we simply do what we know we need to do. Only then can we experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, all of us possess a holy hunger for more joy in our worship, more power in our prayers, more success in our struggles. But to satisfy that hunger, we have a choice to make. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress' best-selling book called I Want More. Plus, the Jesus Map is our gift to you simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete CD and DVD teaching set for the series Unleashed. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
As I looked there at that box of donuts and then thought about the Special K cereal, I had a choice to make in that instant. I had to choose between taste or nutrition. Between health or happiness. You know, that's a choice that we all face, not just in relationship to our physical diet, but our spiritual diet.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Becoming a Special K Christian in a Krispy Kreme World, here on Pathway to Victory.